Well, good evening. Here we are again with the 1955 Kai Lewis Study Series. I'm back from my marathon trip, somewhat rested and ready to get rolling. This chapter has a lot in it. We'll see how much we can cover. We may make two talks. We'll see. Now, on the first page, he starts off by saying he was up all night to prepare for this class, and he feels it's one of the most important lessons you'll ever receive in the message of the Infinite Way. And he means it. One of the things I've noticed making talks over the last 2.5 years is that I don't know if it's you tell people things and they don't believe you, or you tell people things and they don't hear it. One of the two. Because I mentioned you need to study this, or you need to practice this, or this is really, really important. And my observation is people listen to a talk and it's like, well, wasn't that wonderful and uplifting? And they go on their merry way and don't put any of it into practice, or very little. So I noticed that he has a way of saying this is very important. When he does that, I pay attention, because he means that, and I know that he means it. So this particular message is important, and he says that if you don't grasp it, and I notice that a couple of places it's kind of fuzzy, then he says make some provision for studying it afterward, because there's no subject more important. We have these beautiful books printed out for us, thank you. And so we have a provision for studying it. And if you don't study it, the fault's yours. It means that you might be talking that you want to do this, but not walking. Anyway, enough of that. Now, if you try to understand this with your intellect, it's not going to make any sense. He says it's an absolute impossibility to understand this truth in this chapter with your intellect. Oh, I also wanted to mention that the talk I made Sunday, The Narrow Path, is very clear and very precise, and it has to do with, it ties into this entire study here, because it has to do with impersonalizing and nothingizing your false sense of existence, so that you can come into the awareness of your true identity. And this chapter has to do with some of that too. If you haven't heard it, I suggest you listen to it. And furthermore, I say also it's very important that you put it into practice, and not for a day or a week or even a month. You must make it your top priority over the next couple of years. So, getting back to this, it's an impossibility to understand this intellectually. Any of this book, you will not be able to understand it intellectually. You might think you do. If you try to understand this with your intellect, the very mind that's trying to understand it is the mind that has to be come up over. Truth is not something that can be understood. Truth is an experience. I think we made that abundantly clear in the talk, An Activity of Truth and Consciousness. So, he says, nobody, to his knowledge, to this point, has ever really revealed the principle he's about to reveal. Now here at the bottom he says, as I watch the work unfold in the Infinite Way, it seems strange to me at times, although I make little comment on it, that so little actual study is given to the book, The Infinite Way. I think I've made it really abundantly clear in the last couple of weeks that by taking just 2 pages out of The New Horizon in The Infinite Way, I have made close to 5 hours of talks. 5 hours of talks in just looking at two pages. Now, if that doesn't show you a need to study that little gem, the Infinite Way book, then you're sleeping. You're not seeing or listening to what's being said. That's why he says that this book, as small as it is, contains everything we need to know up to date on the subject of spiritual unfoldment. But, he says, he put it in one sentence. Therefore, that's why I show you, or have been showing you, that you must look at each sentence and take them into your meditation and ponder them and delve deeply into each sentence. And I practice what I preach. I myself have taken a sentence or two, taken it into my meditation, studied it, meditated, contemplated it, pondered it, prayed about it, and practiced it until I came to an inner experience of the truth within that sentence. And that's how I've had to do it. I can't just read it and set it down. Well, I can, but I don't get the truth then. I don't have the experience. All I have is an intellectual understanding. Oh, gee, wasn't that book nice? Then I have a whole shelf full of books, and 2 or 3 or 5 years later, I'm just as human as I was before I started. All right. He says that the Infinite Way writings declare that the secret of life is in right identification. And that the only problem, there's only one problem in the entire world, and that is ignorance of your true identity. Don't you see that that's why I'm harping on this? So that you might have the experience of truth or the experience of your true identity. Once you have the experience and you know how to repeat that, you don't need the books. You don't even need these talks. You don't need this Kahlua study. It's nice to see where someone else has realized the same thing you have. It's nice to get corroboration. But once you have had the experience and you know how to repeat it, then you're on the way. You've found your own internal teacher, which will bring you the rest of the way. So, my job, I feel, is to lead you to have that experience. Alright. And so he says, in the book The Infinite Way, this subject is treated quickly and briefly with just a statement here and there. It becomes necessary for an individual, for a student, to follow that through to its ultimate conclusion. And so that's what I was saying. Although this book came through, it came through in such a manner as to not to shock the world. And so you must naturally expect that ideas are softened a little. When you examine them, you say, do you really mean that? And I do. I mean exactly that. Now, one of the ideas are healings are always in proportion to our understanding of the truth about God, man, idea, body. Well, that's just one sentence. But, says Joel, I don't understand how you could spend less than a year on that one sentence. And so, have you spent a year on it? I can tell you I have. All right, on the next page, he talks about no one who hears these words will ever find their freedom until they know that they are not man, or woman, or personal self. So, if you don't come away by studying that one sentence with the inner real awareness that you are not a person, then you won't find your freedom. So that's an important line. Now, this is awesome right here. We're going to get into something that's really awesome. I want you to take your time with it and really look at it. Circle, underline, highlight, but more importantly, pray, meditate, ask, beg, plead, whatever it takes, until you come to an inner realization. Now, realization means to make real. You have the experience, and it's a real experience. So, take this here, which we're about to look at, the principle, or principles, and take them within until you have a real experience of them. Because it will be life-changing, I promise you. And so he says in the chapter Supply in the Infinite Way, I gave the secret. But evidently, too few of our students have connected up that secret with the whole of their being. So what is the secret? He gave the illustration of the orange tree, and I know he's given that a lot. We're all familiar with his illustration of the orange tree, which is supply is the life force flowing up through the trunk and out into the branches that produces the oranges. Supply is not the oranges. He talks about how you can hang oranges on the tree, but that's not supply. You can give away the oranges, you can eat the oranges, you can throw them away. But as long as you have the supply, oranges will appear again, right? And so we all try to apply that to dollar bills because we are convinced that supply is dollar bills when it's not. Now, he says, take that principle and apply it to your whole being. Ah. Aha, now that starts to open other doors in your consciousness when you understand supply is not dollars. Supply is everything that you have need of to live your life for eternity. And so you see, it could be a bed or a house or transportation or a way to move from here to there. It could be dollar bills if you need them. It could be food. It could be water. It could be companionship. It could be a body. Supply could be understanding. It could be intuition. It could be awareness. Supply could be, well, an infinite number of things, couldn't it? So, what that means when you look at this is your supply, or that invisible spiritual substance which appears out here to your senses as all these things, is really the invisible spiritual substance. That's what your supply is. I've said that before. Supply is invisible spiritual substance. But I know when I say that what that feels like. I know what that substance feels like. I can feel it in my consciousness. Do you feel it? If you don't, then you need to meditate on that. What is this invisible spiritual substance? Because that's the supply. And so I wrote down here where he says, too few students have connected up that secret with the whole of being. I wrote, supply is invisible, and so are you. Now that's what I got out of that. You are invisible. Now here's what I mean by that. Down here he says, coming back to our identity, who am I, what am I? You are supply. See? One of my dear friends said to me that they realized, I am grace. I had that same realization a little while ago. So, in your spiritual identity, I can tell you, you are invisible spiritual substance, appearing as your need fulfilled. You are invisible spiritual presence, appearing as companionship. And you are invisible spiritual life, or life force, appearing as a form, a life. And the I of you, the consciousness of you, is spiritual substance, spiritual presence, spiritual life, expressing or manifest. Now, do you not see, he asks, that everyone, including our own students, have been trying to demonstrate meat, wine, water, house, health, when I am these? So, what he's telling you is that the secret of supply is to find out what you are as invisible spiritual substance appearing and get a feeling of that, because that's what supply is. It's not oranges, it's not dollars, it's not cars or houses. Get back inside to find out what the invisible eye of your being is, because that I, that spiritual substance, appears as body. That I is the way, the truth, and the life. And so he jumps right in here on the next page and says that all the way back to Moses, it was realized, I am that very I am. I am it. Now, I had an experience one time, and I can tell you the difference between when you have an intellectual understanding and when you have a glimpse, a realization. I can still remember it. I was sitting in my living room, and I was meditating. Everybody was gone but myself, and I was meditating on just the words, I am that I am, that Moses spoke, that he realized and wrote down. And in the middle of the meditation, it suddenly dawned on me, my God, I, the reality of me, I am that I am itself. And it so startled me. It's kind of startling the first time you realize that you and the Father are one, that the Father is your consciousness, that you are the very I am itself. It's very startling to realize who you are the first time. I think this was 77, 79, somewhere in there. Anyway, I jumped up, picked up the phone, and dialed Herb Fitch and said, wow, you know what I just realized? Of course, he knew it all the time. But you see, the difference was an inner experience of it and not just an intellectual understanding. Catching a glimpse of it, getting the feel of it, getting the weight of it. That's different than just, oh, wow, isn't that interesting? All right, so enough of the difference between intellectualizing and getting the feeling of it. Now, the feeling of it does not mean, all right, I guess it's not enough. The feeling of it does not mean emotions. It does not mean closing your eyes, and feeling this little joyful little emotion. That's not it. When you catch a glimpse, it knocks your socks off. Something in you is suddenly alert, alive, immediately at attention, and the mind goes silent. I call it shock, because truth as an experience is quite shocking. The mind goes tilt. And for a moment, you experience another sense of the universe. And it's quite overwhelming. That's what I mean by realization instead of intellectual understanding. The I that I am, the I that you are, is consciousness. God is consciousness. Consciousness is God. You are consciousness. That consciousness is substance, spiritual presence, spiritual life, and it appears as form, but the form that it appears as is not the form you see with your eyes, so we're going to get into that. But that's what you really are, consciousness, spiritual substance, spiritual presence, spiritual life, eternally and immortally, infinite consciousness. Eternity goes in both directions, backwards and forwards. That means you never had a beginning. So look back there, before the beginning of the world. Before the beginning. And you're there before the beginning. I didn't say you were there, I said you are there. Now look past the end, way down past the end. The end of this world, the end of the next world, the end of the next world. There you are, you're there. Not you will be, you are. That's your being. Now, all of that being is individualized as you. Can you imagine that? That infinity is individualized as you. Now that's the, what do they call it? The mystery of godliness, he calls it? Okay. You must know that you are cause and not effect, and that's what we're talking about. He says, There's one tiny sentence in the book, The Infinite Way. You must know that you are cause and not effect. I don't see how anyone could spend less than 3 years on that one sentence. Now, ladies and gentlemen, do you think he's making this up or just being clever? He means this. Take that one sentence on and off. Meditate on it for weeks at a time. Dive deep into it. What does that mean, cause? What does cause feel like? What is everything that's effect that I'm not? Let's eliminate that. Everything that is effect that I'm not. Let's cross that off first. Now, what am I as cause? And so you go deeply into it. You make notes when things come to you. Then you meditate on those. You see? And then it gets boring, or you reach a dead end, you set it down for a few days. Then suddenly something comes up that clicks with that, you come back to it. That means 3 years. That's what that means. All right. So he says, I don't see how anyone could spend less than 3 years. I don't know how they possibly can, because there isn't a single discord within range of your thought that isn't based on the belief that you are an effect. The mystery of life is in the words, I am. You could take the words, I am, and study them for eternity. How about that? Now, there's only one answer to the question, what is God? And that answer is, I am. All right, now I see all online, all over the place, in books. Heck, I'm surprised it's not on TV. Maybe it is. People going around, I am that I am, I am that I am, I am that I am. They have no consciousness of it. They feel that by repeating the words, somehow it'll lift them up a little higher. When he says there's only one answer to the question, what is God, and that answer is, I am, I take that into meditation, and I say to myself, well, what does that mean? God, what does that mean? It can't be a person. I know a person's not this I that's God. It can't be a body. It can't be a mind. I just watched someone I know with Alzheimer's that can't even remember my name. We had great conversations just a couple of years ago. So it can't be the mind. That's not God. Is it the emotions? Is it this love in the heart? No, that's here today, gone tomorrow also. Well, what is this I? Is it a soul? Well, what the heck is a soul? Now I got two things, an I to contemplate and a soul to ponder. What is an I? Well, what is a soul? What is a spirit? You see? Finally, I'm convinced that the only place I can get the answer is from God. Well, God, what is this I? What are you? God, reveal yourself. I, reveal yourself. I can't find it in a book or from a person, so here I am in my temple, and I guess I will never know unless the I itself reveals itself. Now, that's how I study this. Each person will have to study it in their own way. Well, he says, I'm going to leave it with you to ponder this idea of yourself as being God's being. So he's going to leave it to you, study that, and probably for 3 years. All right. This is the second time he's telling us this on the second page. Now remember, you are not man or woman. You are life eternal. I know I say that a lot in the talks. Probably makes people uncomfortable that you're not a man, you're not a woman, you're not a child, you're not young, you're not old. That's not just poetry. When you go stand in front of the mirror and look at that body, the hair, the eyes, the nose, lips, ears, neck, chest, waist, buttocks, legs, organs, if you will, legs, knees, feet, arms, hands. See it? Now, is that you? I don't know what yours looks like, but mine needs some work. Because according to the best judgment of humankind, I'm not a Robert Redford or I'm not a Matt Damon. I'm not any of those guys. I'm just average. But when I look in the mirror, I can tell that's not God. Come on, give me a break. All right. So when I look in the mirror, I have to realize that's not me. You are life eternal. Well, now, here I am back at the drawing board. I've got to go back within again. What is life eternal? What is life? Because this thing I'm seeing in the mirror is not life. God made life, and life is eternal. This thing here can be smashed, run over by a car, blown up by a bomb, poisoned, stabbed, shot. It can just age itself out of existence. So, well, that can't be life. Oh, great. So now I discover I'm walking around and the thing is dead. But if I haven't discovered what life is, what eternal life is, you betcha. It's exactly what I'm doing. Walking around in something that's dead. All right. He's going to help us with that. If you are aware of yourself as infinity, that is your state of consciousness. But that means you have to be aware of it. Can you sit down, close your eyes, or maybe even with the eyes open, it's happened to me that way sometimes, and be aware of your infinity, your infinite self, your everywhere self, your omnipresent self, and feel the weight of it? If you can't, then you haven't woke up. You're still walking in this dead concept called the human life. Still believe you're a man or a woman. But, he says, how can you go from the belief of being a finite being to that of being an infinite being? Yes, how do you make the transition? Well, that's what we're all about in the infinite way, right? Now, when he gives us these examples of the automobiles and airplanes and radios and television, he's trying to show you that you can go within yourself for truth. You must have an activity of truth in your consciousness, and it must be an experience. Not a thought, not an emotion, not a little happy butterfly feeling, but an actual activity of your infinity, a feel of it, an experience of it moving through you or as you. And so in these examples, he's showing you how to go within, how to look for truth within your being. But he's using the stories of the telegraph and the airplane and the V8 engine. So he says, you dig down into the mind of God. How do you get there? Go into your own mind, because that's the only mind there is, and that is God. But not this thinker up here. You know by now, by mind, capital M, he's not talking about this thinker, this gray matter. No, he's talking about something deeper than that, which you become attuned to through practice. It's just like I knew a guy that could tune. He had perfect pitch. He had learned to be able to tune a guitar with his ear. He didn't need a tuning fork or one of those things you blow the notes into. He just could do it with his ear, having done it so much. Well, it's the same with this. It's through the practice of meditation that we come into the experience of being able to tune in to that inner voice, the mind that which was in Christ Jesus. That mind is not somewhere back there 2,000 years ago. It's the mind that whispers thoughts in your consciousness to your outer awareness. Through the practice of attunement, you learn to hear it. It's not anything special. Everyone has it. But you put in the time to become attuned to hearing it. And so he says the consciousness of an individual is infinity, and we call that God. But there again, what is consciousness? See? Now you've only read a couple pages and you have to find out what I is, what is soul, what is consciousness? What does the infinity of your being feel like? What is this mind that was in Christ Jesus? This is really raising more questions than it is giving answers. But such is the road to truth. You can't teach it direct. You have to point people by giving them clues. And so that's what he's doing. He's giving us clues how we can have the inner experience. That's the only place that we can be taught. We must all be taught of God. Well then, we ourselves must be infinite. The secret of life then is in right identification. Are you life or are you an effect? And so there we are again. He's trying to steer us away from seeing ourselves as this little human being out here, this little effect, who needs to demonstrate a home, or supply, or health, or companionship. He's trying to steer us and give us the clue to meditate on the fact that we ourselves are infinite consciousness, out of which everything you need, which is spiritual substance, spiritual presence, and spiritual life, will flow. And then, of course, it'll be interpreted out here as person, place, or thing. But it all starts with right identification. We don't work out here. We have nothing more to demonstrate out here. Remember, my kingdom is not of this world anymore, not for us. We are learning to go within and move around in this inner kingdom, where the only thing we have to demonstrate is right identification and an awareness of our infinite self. So he says, right identification changes your life the very minute you begin to embody it. And that's a promise. He's made us a promise here. It will change your life the very minute you begin to embody right identification. But what does that mean, embody it? Ah, now we're thrown back into our closet again. And we have to meditate on that. What is embody? How do you embody a principle? Again, that which I am seeking, I am. All that God is, I am. Because I and the Father are one. I am is that one. When you say I am, you are declaring that. Now that doesn't make your humanhood God, that makes your humanhood die, so that only God is left. And there we have another one. Well, what does that mean? What do you mean? How does going within and working with this principle, all that God is, I am, how does that make my humanhood die, so that only God is left? Well, certainly it's not walking around saying, I am, I am, I am. That doesn't make my humanhood die. And studying what other people have said about it, no, I've studied for years and I'm still here. What does he mean? What does he mean? So again, we're thrown into our own consciousness to find the answer. Alright, the moment we realize that I am life eternal, then we come to the next great thing. What about this body? And that's true. In fact, that's the order it came to me. In 1970. Four or five, I had the experience of my infinite self for the first time. And it knocked my socks off for weeks. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I believed it. It was, wow. Unable to explain it. But then after that, I kind of returned to everyday consciousness because I hadn't attained that consciousness. I only had a glimpse. And so then he's right. The next thing is, what about this body? What about this person? What about this home? What about this career? What about this supply? That's the next thing. First the glimpse. Then, okay, but that's what's real, and this is what? Well, now I really have to get to study, so that this becomes my permanent dwelling place, so my consciousness can develop to the glimpse that I had. All right. Now let us remember this, he says. If I am at all, then I must be embodied. Well, there's that word again, embodied. What does that mean, embodied? He's going to give us some hints. We learn in Scripture, I am embodied, and my body is the temple of the living God. Now, I underline that because that's a gem to, yes, meditate on. I don't know how long you're going to have to spend on that. Now, I like this little explanation he gives about the child when it's in the mother's body. This is very important that you get a feel of this. I know us guys can't get a feel of what that feels like to have a body inside you. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean a baby inside you. But get the sense of what he's saying. In a certain instant, life came to this form in the baby. But the life of the baby was invisible. And again, I repeat, so are you. Now listen. Here's the gist of these paragraphs that I got out of it on the baby. Before the baby, before the life was in the form in the mother, that life had form somewhere in the invisible. It must, because God is always embodied. It always has form. Being always has form. So that form was invisible form, right? You can look at it this way. All the people that have yet to be born on earth are somewhere right now, are they not? All the people that have disappeared, all the souls that have disappeared, completed their lifespan on earth, they're not here anymore. They are still in existence somewhere, and they are in some kind of form, right? It may be a light form, but it's form. And so, before the baby, before the form in the mother had life in it, that life already existed, let's say on the other side of the veil, and it had form. Then, he says, suddenly at a certain moment, how do you put it? At a certain instant, life came to the form. Alright? Because suddenly the mother suddenly started feeling it kicking. There was life in it. But, he says, as life, it existed before conception. Where? Well, that's not given us to know at this present moment, although I suspect that he did. Somewhere, somehow, it existed. Now, that's what I got out of those paragraphs. So, as we look at the infant form, we can say, aha, that's not your life, because I remember when life wasn't there. So this isn't you. That's why I say, this is your form. This is a you separate and apart from this form. Or there is a you separate and apart from this form. And there is a you that has form invisible to my sight. Now we have right identification. Let's go over that again. I stumbled and bumbled through that. It's very important. In other words, when you're looking in the mirror at yourself, as we said a minute ago, you can say this also about yourself. This isn't you. This is your form. But there is a you. Now I'm talking to you. You're looking at yourself, saying this to yourself. This is your form. But there is a you separate and apart from this form. There is a you that has form invisible to my sight right now. All right, each one of us has an invisible form in which we dwell this very moment. Now, he says, that's right identification. Well, now there's a big fat clue right there. Because he has just said, you should no longer identify with your body out here as being you, or the life out here as being you. The right identification is for you to identify with that invisible form. Now, you can't tell me that that's not a year's or two's worth of meditations. And if it isn't, and if you never look at that again, well, I don't know what to say. Sayonara, bye. So, he says, we know that that which we are viewing as body represents a concept. Yes, that's what I wanted to say, and I wrote it down here. The concept about the invisible form. Now, as you look in the mirror, or as you look at another person, or an animal, or anything, you are looking at a concept of its invisible form. It is still the truth about it, the right identification about it, is to see, perceive, feel the invisible form that's right there. That's the reality of it. That's the right identification. That spiritual sense of existence is what we're talking about. When you see that, when you feel it, when you get the weight of that invisible form of the one you're looking at, when you get the inner awareness of it, not an emotion, not a thought, the inner awareness of it, then you can expect to have healings. Because one with God is a majority. Your vision will bring out that which you're looking at. Okay? Now go and meditate on that. So, when we see each other, we're looking at the concept, a world mind concept, mind you, about that invisible form. Now in your meditations, Joel says, he himself, he says this in Incorporeality of God, Man, and Universe, in the book Beyond Words and Thoughts, he says, he himself has beheld the incorporeal form of man hundreds and hundreds of times. And when we understand the incorporeality of God and the incorporeality of man, then we bring forth healings. Now that's almost word for word. Why? I studied it for years. It's that important to me. Yeah. All right, but that's not the point. The point is that here is the big whole gist of this chapter. This is what you need to get out of this right here. You focus on this. All right? That is the need for right identification. Right identification. He talks about that a lot. Right identification brings out healings, brings harmony, brings peace. So now I submit to you, right identification means in your meditation, find a way to touch that, to be aware of that, to have the experience of, or to perceive the invisible form that's really there. And then when you have your eyes open, start now looking past the concept of form to the underlying invisible form. The underlying invisible form is the Word made flesh. I explained that in another talk, but I saw it go whoom right over everybody's head. The underlying invisible form, that's the Word made flesh. Not this that you're seeing with the eyes in the mirror. That's a world mind concept about that invisible form. We've got to go past these and see through these concepts now. We've got to grow up and start to have the vision first in our meditation and then with our eyes open of this invisible spiritual form, this invisible spiritual being, which is spiritual substance, spiritual life, spiritual presence formed, or God, the Word formed. All right, now, I had this meditation and something really outstanding, shocking, came to me. And also very comforting, because I suspected it all along. And so I suggest you have this meditation, and it is this. You ask yourself very deeply the question, as you look for a moment out here at this body, what am I when not looking through or at any concepts at all? And then close your eyes and ask the Father, ask consciousness, ask God, what am I when not looking through concepts? And then stay at it, keep at it, until you become still enough that it reveals itself to you. When it does, you will find that is the invisible Word made flesh, the invisible form that you are. You will have an experience of it, a glimpse. Okay. And again, I sound like a broken record. It must be a deep inner meditation and realization, not a thought. It must be an inner expanding experience of that invisible life eternal. So, when he says, once the realization comes that I am life eternal, which is what we just said, must be a inner expanding experience, you can then look out and say, my form and my body represent the instrument through which I walk the earth. But the I of you is not the one walking the earth. The I of you is that invisible form, using this other concept to walk around. Now, then he gets off into a tangent here, which I kind of liked. Because years and years ago, I read Teachings of the Masters of the Far East, and I really like that bit where they transport themselves from mountaintop to mountaintop without having to walk several days. And he must have read it too, because he says, when you read these stories, you read of the masters who could transport their bodies through space without any element of time. Do not disbelieve that for a single moment. It was true. It still is true. Boy, I'd sure like to have looked in his eyes when he said that. I wonder if he's one that has learned a little bit about that. He did comment once about driving his car, I think he said 90 or 95 miles an hour across the desert, and suddenly coming upon another car and blinking his eyes in a realization of the presence, and then the next thing he knew, he was on the other side of the car. He had passed right through it. So that's pretty close. Jesus walking on the water, walking through walls. We will do this. We will do these things. We must do these things and greater works, because that's what was promised by Christ. But now listen to me. Please, will you please take me serious? Listen. In your meditation, as you learn to live in this invisible form, which is your true identity, the concept will grow less and less strong, that is, the concept out here. More and more, the reality of you will be this invisible presence, or substance, or life, or form. When you take that and transport it, first of all, it's going to be easy for you to do because of omnipresence, you're already there. So when you learn the principle, the hidden principle behind it, and you transport that from one place to the other, realizing that you're already there, that's just the way they said it in Jonathan Livingston Seagull, if you read that book. The secret, Jonathan, is to realize you're already there, and the bird transported from one place to the other. So, when you learn that secret, after learning how to live and dwell and move in your invisible spiritual self, don't doubt for a minute that this form out here will follow. Because the reality of you can take a concept wherever it wishes. Now, can it? He's saying, the man on the street says that's nonsense, because he can only believe in a concept. But never doubt for a moment that Jesus rose from the tomb. Nobody witnessed his appearing after that, except those of a high spiritual atmosphere. that they could perceive that which finite human sense could not behold. When the resurrection took place, a principle was revealed to mankind. You never die, nor does your body ever stay in a casket. All right, now, he says down here, to those of illumined consciousness who never did believe that this was me, Joel will always walk the earth for them. All right, now you listen. Listen up. The reason why I'm telling you, well, one of the benefits or added things to seeking first right identification, that is learning, hey, I'm impersonalizing and nothingizing this stupid concept out here, and in my meditations I'm beginning to have glimpses of my invisible spiritual form. That form which is eternal, was not born and does not die. I'm beginning to experience it. Sometimes I rest in it and feel it. Sometimes I'm in it while I'm walking around. Wow, this is really something. I'm beginning to come into the inheritance of my eternal life. I'm knowing God aright. I'm discovering my own eternal life. This is great. Now, when you have come to that state of consciousness, you're beginning to dwell in it, feel the weight of it, have the realization of it, the awareness of it, and you're also able to, in meditation, see that same invisible spiritual form of others, guess what? You won't just be a practitioner or a healer. You have now elevated your consciousness to the point, listen, we are told that 518 people witnessed Christ after his resurrection. Well, those 518 are doing just exactly what we just described. When you've developed your consciousness to the point we just described, you'll be one of these that can commune, see, and talk with the Master. Now, down here, he says, Joel will always walk the earth for them. And there you have it. You want to sit down and have communion and talk and walk with Joel? Well, we've just told you how, now haven't we? So you see, there's a whole... You remember we read just the other day in the Narrow Path, and before that in the Ascension, we read the New Horizon, where it talks about looking into a universe governed by love, peopled with children of God. Here you have it, right here again. And there, he's right, he put it in two sentences, didn't he? And here it's a whole page. You want it? You want to live in that universe? You want to develop your consciousness to the point of seeing the invisible Word made flesh? Well, then you're on the way. If you want it as bad as I do. Now, I may not get it full time in this life. I may only have glimpses. But it doesn't matter. I am bent on this. If it takes me 10 lives, if it takes me 100 years, 1,000 years, or 10,000, I will have it. As far as I am concerned, he said you will walk this earth within 3 hours after you seem to take your departure. And I won't be looking for you in the tomb of flesh. He's not here in the tomb, the guard said. He has risen. That's a principle. All right? And this is true of you. But what good is it if all you have is that's beautiful. Oh, that's just wonderful. Isn't that lovely? Or, let me see. So that must mean that, 3 hours. I wonder if that means that the silver cord is cut and then I'm free. You see, you won't have it with an emotional experience or an intellectual understanding. You got to get into the trenches, apply these principles until you come up to that elevated consciousness in your meditation. And first you catch a glimpse. And, whoa, wow. My God, who did I tell that to? Well, I'm going to send an email off to that Bill Skiles. He'll probably understand this. And I probably will. Or maybe you don't write anybody at all. That's fine, too. But you have your glimpse. And then it happens again. Oh, my God, I'm onto something here. Could this be? Is this the truth about me? Happens again, and yet again. Then the next time it lasts a little longer. My goodness. See, you're developing your consciousness. Now, you are not buried in the tomb we call a human body. He is trying to explain to you. You're not in it. I've got that underlined. Realize this. Work with this principle in meditation. You are not in a human body. Let's see how we're doing on time here. Yeah, we're right at an hour, so I guess we're going to end it there. I thought this might take 2 weeks. This is too big of a thing. When he says he was up all night meditating before giving you this talk, you better believe it's important. And this right identification is going to, well, you have to die to a false sense of self to awaken to your eternal life. So this is the whole deal. This is the real deal here. This is the whole thing that Christ came to teach us how to do. And so if you will take this chapter, particularly what we've looked at so far, and study that, meditate in the places we talked about, listen to the narrow path. If you will listen to the narrow path and study everything we've looked at here, then you're going to be well on your way. You're going to begin to have glimpses. Don't be afraid of them. I know they can be disconcerting at times. They're kind of shocking at times, because the little mind suspects it's going to go. It doesn't want to go. But don't be concerned. It's okay. Your Father loves you. This is the way home. You're on the right track. I love you. I'm happy for you. I'm full of joy at your joy. And, well, that's it for this week. I'm going to wrap it up now, and we'll talk to you again next week. Oh, I did want to ask one thing. Are you getting anything out of these talks? I get a little feedback once in a while. If you're getting something out of these talks, please send me an email and let me know. If not, if it's just sort of, well, hey, he's going over this stuff and I can read it for myself, well, then let me know that too. And then I'll just, we'll just have this a reading thing and a meditating thing. Because I've been doing the very best I can, devoting myself, giving this a lot of time, a lot of meditation, a lot of prayer, and a lot of effort. I know it's easy to just download a talk and listen to it for an hour, but it really takes me anywhere from 5 to 7 hours for each one of these talks when everything is said and done. So if it's not helping, or it's just, well, it's interesting, but I can read it for myself, well, let me know, and then I'll quit. But if you are getting something out of it, we're up to chapter 7, let me know that too, and we'll continue. I'm okay either way. But the main thing out of this is, please, focus on understanding you're not that body in the mirror. That's a concept. A concept entertained in the mind, or produced by the world mind, and then heard in your mind. It's a concept entertained about the reality of you. The reality of you is that invisible spiritual form. The Word made flesh. That invisible form formed by God. That's you. Now, you've got to get the feel of that. In the beginning, you've got to have some glimpses of it. So pore over everything that points to that. And then meditate deeply, repeatedly, over and over, until you get some glimpses. Then later you'll learn how to walk in it consciously with eyes open, okay? That's the path, that's the way. God bless. Thank you.